Blog Talk Radio.
To everybody, I'm Dr. Larissa D. Smith, the host of Balling with the Doc. It's a Talking Sports Plus production. It's part of our radio station with Talking Sports Plus. We come to you on every other Friday at 2:30 Central Standard Time, as well as 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. In essence, we want to bring you some topics that's been going on, some hot topics that's been going on in the areas of sports. So we're really excited about being a part of a Friday. Like I see, happy Friday. I'll say fabulous Friday, because you're upon the weekend. You can make it do what it do. We want you to have a ball. We want you to be safe and just take care of your business so you'll be back with us on Monday. And we have a show being broadcast on Monday entitled Talking Real to You. You can join us at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We have an awesome guest on that show Monday. That show will be dealing with school shootings and the response after school shooting. Basically, in reflection to a show we had earlier, we had a parent from the Parkland shooting down in Parkland, Florida, over that Stone High School. And it's just awesome to have a chance to come back and bring a therapist to talk about what's being done at best in the school community, just in that area. Now, when I lived out in South Florida, I stayed across from Parkland in Sunrise. So I know exactly. The high school could be seen from the freeway. So it happened. It's real. So the thing about it, we're going to talk about it on Monday night, and that's Lisa LaVance. She'll be here with us, and she'll be sharing her thoughts on that. And as she's been communicating back and forth, she's excited. She has some new techniques, some treatment that's for you. That's Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter. Now, today's show, we're going to be talking about what's going on in sports. Some of the hottest topics. If you watched the show from last night or watched sports last night, it was Thursday Night Football, we got a topic that's considered to be breaking news. Again, this is happening, and our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Or you can go to the web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And individuals that's on Instagram and on Blog Talk Radio, we're being broadcast on Facebook, facebook.com/DR, which is Dr. Alberto Smith. And then on Instagram, we're being broadcast on Coach Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith 15. So we're being broadcast on several vessels, and we're just trying to get the word out. Now, to keep in mind for those individuals joining us, we want y'all to know that we're being broadcast in 16 countries, and individuals are beginning to make contact. They're on there. They're excited. Whatever way they're listening to this show, we're glad to have each and every one of you all onto this show. Thank you so much. God is so good. It's a blessing to be able to share what we have dealing with sports, whether it's with life issues, whether it's just with today's issues, or whatever it may be, economics, political. We just want to be able to share it with everybody from this point of view. You know, someone asked me the other day, why did you start broadcasting, coming live and talking about the issues and wanting to be a host? I said, it was a vision God gave me. He gave me a vision, said, go and do this. Carry this vessel out and carry the voice that is not getting out from other people. So we focus on in the sports of historical black college and university. The word is not getting out, high school and middle school. We also focus on just real life issues that people are dealing with. But today we're going to get involved, I mean, basically balling with the doc. It's more of a informative sports topic show that focus on analysis, expert analysis. We also focus on insightful thoughts as well as wisdom when we're looking at sports. That's every other Friday. So let's make it do what it do. Our topic of today, as we look at it, is who's contenders or pretenders for the football playoff. We're at that point. Before we can move forward, I want to make sure we shared some other house cleaning thing, which is how to tweet the show at Balling Doc, at Talking Sports Plus. It is a Talking Sports Plus radio production, as well as at Lorenzo D. Smith 15. Tweet the show. Share your thoughts. If you want to email the show, you can go to Balling with the Doc at gmail.com, Talking Sports Plus at gmail.com, or Lorenzo D. Smith 15 at gmail.com. So check us out. We want to share. We got a format deal of things, and I mean, deal with topics of discussion. So we're going to take time to share those topics with you. But we're going to talk about breaking news. There's some breaking news. If you watch Thursday Night Football, the game was between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a hard fought game. This world turned the ball over a lot, and it was like four interceptions by the quarterback. But with the last 8 seconds of the game, there was an incident that as a former coach, as a former football player, I was very concerned because these are professional athletes. When professional athletes start acting like they're out in the street, hood, what you would call, and doing things, everybody can have their sides. I heard the pundits this morning. I heard individuals talk about it throughout the day, but I'm going to give you my side too. It was deplorable. One thing about it, if you're constantly, getting personal fouls and flagrant fouls on you and being fined, you're going to think you can get away with something. And I was very, very disappointed in Myles Garrett. You know, everybody said Mason Rudolph should be, but I know for a fact I had one of the listeners on one of my former football players. Now, if you do something, you take me down and it's not right, I'm coming up some way to fight through the process to remove you from off me. Now, whatever happened then. But when we get to the point when we had this kind of violence that I saw last night by Myles Garrett, you know, the breaking news was that he's suspended indefinitely for the rest of the season through the playoffs, and he has to apply back with the commissioner in the new year. So we're going to see, we'll see what's going to happen. I believe, like a lot of the other ones, that it should be at least 12 games or 14 games. That's six this year and possibly six or eight next year. Agree or disagree, but that's how I feel, because it was egregious what he did. It was something you do out in the street. They are paid millions and millions of dollars, and you do not do that to another player. Everybody said, well, Mason Rudolph was wrong for trying to grab his helmet. But if we look at the full play, the ball was gone. I was guaranteed, no, you can't stop your action, but you also had another player that came up, was close to Mason Garrett as well, from a Cleveland Brown. He took him, he twisted him, and tried to look like he wanted to get a slam up. He couldn't get a slam up, so he twisted him down. He's on top of him. Instead of trying to get off him, he's on top. If I'm there, the game is over with, just about over with. I'm trying to get you off me. Instead, you still trying to get hold to me. Yeah, I reached up and grabbed whatever I can to get you off me. But then you grab my face mask. Literally lift the young man up off the ground when players were trying to restrain him by the face mask. Twist the face mask so the helmet would pop off the kid's head. You could have broke the boy's neck. I don't care what nobody said. It was a problem then. Then when they do restrain him, he gets back, and when he's being restrained, when you know, okay, everything cool, I'm being restrained, he takes a swing and actually hit the quarterback in the head. I don't care what nobody said. Well, the quarterback should have been running behind him. He was trying to get into the fight. Okay, fine. If you get me down and you do that to me and twist the helmet on my head, I'm coming after you too. I don't care what nobody said. That's why he did not suspend Mason Rudolph. He's coming at, and literally, I didn't see him come and throw a punch at him. I saw him reaching, trying to get his helmet back. But that player, Myles Garrett, like I said, he shouldn't be in the league not the rest of the year, in six games next year. That's my feeling. Took a swing over the shoulders of a guy restraining him and actually hit that young man in the head. Something wrong with that. Now, we can sit up here and say he was wrong for doing what he did, Mason Rudolph. Come on, man. This is my point of view. I'm going to share it because it was deplorable. He needs to be out the league. He don't need to be there. That's violence, man. What are we showing our young people? That because you get mad and somebody do something to you, and you feel like it's to the point where you can grab something, that's the most important part of a football player. And I'm going to tell y'all, the helmet is the most important part of equipment of a football player. And you take and you twist it, twist that helmet, and snatch it off his head. You actually lift the young man up in the air by the face mask because the helmet was still attached to his body. And no, that was a problem right there. Then being restrained, you take a swing and use the helmet as a weapon, knowing the young man didn't have a helmet on. I don't care if he's coming at you. That's no excuse for that kind of behavior. And I watched it 5, 6, 7, maybe 20 times. And as I watched it, I noticed after he took the swing over the restraining player's shoulder to hit the young man in the head, he tried to come back and get a back swing on him. He was only stopped because another player stepped up in the way. He needs to be gone. Okay, now when he hit the ground and Marquise Pouncey came and was just kicking and punching, okay, it's fine. You do my player like, I think he got 2 minutes. Now Marquise Pouncey received 3-game suspension and a fine. That's 2 minutes. Give me one. Because he was really trying to defend it. And on top of that, you have another defensive player for the Cleveland Browns. He said he was going to help his player. But what did he do? He ran up and blindsided the quarterback. And he got 1 game. Nah. And a fine. Nah. He blindsided that kid. That's just like a person, and I dealt with this because I dealt with my father, dealt with the way he hit his head on the floor, and with the impact, it caused him to be like a whiplash. He hit that. That boy has no idea you coming running and hit it. His head snapped back. he needs to have at least three games to equip. I'm not letting up on them because they make too much money. And I have nothing against them making money. I'm for them making money for the game. I love the game. I love to coach the game. I love playing the game. But when you start acting like the game has made you instead of you making the game, you got a problem. And Myles Garrett should be suspended like he is, 12 games. Could push up to 14. Find him as much as money you can find him so it hurts. By being suspended, he's going to be hurt financially anyway because he will not get paid for these games. And that's disheartening. That's a blackout in the NFL. They're trying to get ahead of it. You already have a situation that the NFL brought back, and we're going to talk about that. And that's the situation dealing with Colin Kaepernick. You know, he's been out in the league since 2016 because he took a stand in regards to violence against our young African-American males as well as black Americans all over the country being sometimes targeted and assassinated by white police officers. The thing I have with that is that why bring it back up? Because it was a dead issue. Somebody said, well, he needs to be in the league. I have no problem with him being in the league. He might be better than the many quarterbacks they have. But if you're on your job, and I want everybody on here to think about it, you're on your job, and you decide to bring up something that has nothing to do with your job and start protesting on your job, and your supervisor, your person in charge, the owner tell you you can't supervise. He don't want you doing that, and you shouldn't do that, and you still continue to do it. You think you're going to have the job very long? Why do we excuse them because they're making millions of dollars? That's just my point of view. However you want to see it, you should have you. I want you to be a part of it. Call in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of the show, press 1, and I will identify you with your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to join us and share your thoughts. And I'm looking at the live trying to see if anybody trying to join me now, and I appreciate you doing it. People on Facebook, thank you so much for taking time listening to what we have to talk about. Who's contenders or pretenders for the football playoff? All right, we're going to kind of move off that issue and kind of move to some other things that's going on in regards to the college football playoff. On Tuesday night, the college football playoff committee decided they make a selection on the top 25 teams. And the top 4, and we'll look at and give a shout in regards to them. We want to know, did the committee get it right? On our show Wednesday night, which is Talking Sports Plus, we had the audience and the listeners and the co-hosts shared and said it felt like it was as right as it could be, as close as it could be, the selection. Let me run off the top 16, and eventually I'll touch on others. At number 1, you have LSU, Louisiana State University, who just went to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and beat the University of Alabama 46-41, so they lost it to number 1. Number 2 is Ohio State, who's just averaging right at about 50-some points a game, holding it steady. No matter who they play, they beat them, just beating them. They're ranked number 2. Ranked number 3, you have Clemson. Clemson just all year, to a sense, I think, they're being disrespected to a sense, but they keep winning. Just keep winning. Don't lose anything in that conference, ACC. You'll be in there. You're going to be third or either you're going to be second. I don't know how it's going to turn out because a lot of things have to happen. Then number 4 was Georgia. Number 4 was Georgia. So Georgia, 8-1, was moved up from 6-4, and they're the 4th team in that slot to make up that top 40. 15 is University of Alabama, who lost to it. LSU at home, 46-41. They dropped down from 3rd to 5th. The 6th place teams, Oregon. And Oregon had actually moved up a little bit because it moved up in the slot with Georgia. Number 7 is Utah. And both of them in the same conference, and they will tie up before the season over. So all this is going to work out for themselves. They said, did they get it right? At this point, it's right as it can be. But truly, truly, when you look at some of the level of play and how this committee takes a blank sheet every Monday and every Tuesday and draw up how the rankings would be, they got it right. I believe they got it right. Some people said it then. They thought that other teams should have been higher. They thought Minnesota should have leapfrogged from 17 all the way to the number 4. That's not happening. Your schedule won't allow you to do it. They thought Baylor should go, even though Baylor is having some struggles in their self, but they have a big ball game this weekend, and we're going to see how that's going to turn out. So did the committee get it right? Yes, the committee got it right. All right, we're going to look at it. Should Alabama, the University of Alabama, make it into the CFFs, college football playoff? Some people say no. The schedule's resume is not strong enough. Some people say they're one of the top four teams in the country. So we're going to kind of see how the thing work out. And then they said, what route would they have to take? One of the routes is some people believe, and I don't, that Georgia must lose to Auburn and Alabama beat Auburn. I don't. I just think Georgia should win, LSU should win. If they win like that, I believe they'll have a chance, because now if Georgia beat LSU in the championship game, then that's a wrap for Alabama. But if LSU holds steady like they're supposed to be and they beat Georgia, there's a chance, but I don't think anybody will leap over them. And the reason why, because they wouldn't have put them at fifth if they thought Oregon was better than Alabama. One of the fifth best teams in the country. So Utah, Oklahoma, Minnesota did not leapfrog. So that puts you in a good position. Four would have been excellent for them. But right now they're five. So it's going to take Georgia winning out till they get to the championship game. This is how a way they can get in. You know, or if they just have chaos, Clemson lose, they're done. They're not going to, they've been treated fifth and sixth. Now they've brought us to third because of the two losses. If they lose a game, they're done. And if Ohio State mess around, lose whoever they lose to, if they lose to Michigan and but beat everybody else, I don't know whether they're going to be in the picture. So this thing is not over with. So whether or not they have a route to get there, the University of Alabama, we have to kind of wait and see. Here's another thing we was talking about, fatigue, Alabama fatigue. The University of Alabama, we're seeing them so much. Every one of the college football playoffs they've been in, even in the bowl series, are we tired of them? You know, I have my point of view, and you can too. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. Identify the last four digits of your cell or telephone number that I actually give is your name and location if you choose to, and let us know your comments, your expertise, your insightful knowledge, and your thoughts, as well as a question if you have one in regards to what you think about who should be or should Alabama be considered a team that have caused us to no longer want to see anymore. A lot of people say yes, we're tired of seeing them, but I have this thought, and I want everybody to know this, is as a coach, I want to be the best every year. I never told my players that we're going to play for second best, even if I didn't see us being a championship team. But we fought to be, but if I was good enough to have talent, we worked hard to be champions every year. And the only way we could do it is go out there and play hard and play to win, not play for second place. So if a team is your team doing that, then you never get to the top. You have to always want to be the best. And you have to be the best area. It's not one year, then it's okay. I know people like Parody. Let's see somebody else champion. Beat them, and you can be there. LSU beat them. But you have to beat them to one. Your team ain't up there because, you know, because your team can't beat that team. So the point is, if that team continue to win and says, shows a sign of excellence, I'm all for that team being there every year. You know, I hear the same thing with here with Golden State. We die. We want somebody else to be there because we die. You know, I wasn't a Golden State fan, but they had the best team, had the best player. They had the best Jimmy and Joe's. That's what it's all about. The best is Jimmy and Joe and a coach to go along with it. So when they're in that position to do that, we want to make sure we don't have this thing in our mind that we think somebody else should be there. Work your way up there. Win and get up there. If you don't, let that team stay. I want to see the best football. I want to see the best teams up there. I don't want to see somebody that think they should be up there and they don't want to see the other team. Beat the other team, then you can be up there. That's the way I see that in regards to whether it's Alabama fatigue. Now, if you have a winning mentality, it's never fatigue. You love to see that happen. You love to see this team win over and over and over again. There's only a certain number of teams going to be able to get in that playoff. That's four. If you can go to eight, it's going to be certain on air. You know, if you go to eight, everybody thinks that because they lost two games, they should be in. I believe that you got to keep it close to the best where you either have zero loss or one loss, and you're considered the best team, the best four teams in the playoffs. You're not going to have the best eight teams. I can tell you that now. It's hard to say the best eight, but you can always say the best 14. This is not a high school setting. This is not a middle school setting. This is a college setting, and this is not the NFL. NFL, half of the NFL get a chance to go to the playoff. Unfortunate, that ain't how it is in college. And in my mind, it shouldn't be. Fatigue might be in your mind, but I see champions in that. In my mind. So we're going to go with that. Again, if you want to be a part of this, you can share some thoughts on Facebook. You got a opportunity to comment if you want to. It's fine. Even on Instagram, you have that same opportunity. You can let me know your thoughts, let me know you're there, and just share some things with through your comments on Facebook. But you can also call in. That call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. Let's chat about it. I'll press 1 and put you on the line. You will be live. Then we're going to chat and talk about these topics. We're sharing some thoughts on. All right, we're going to kind of move the agenda pretty fast because, you know, we're limited to our hour, but I always just push it back a little longer. But we want to make sure we touch bases on several other things. I want to go to looking at the college football playoff committee relations and what their thoughts of Baylor and Oklahoma. There's a big ball game coming up Saturday in Baylor, in Texas over there. And Oklahoma is going. That's Oklahoma and Baylor will be playing. Oklahoma is have one loss to their credit, and that was to Kansas State. And Baylor hasn't lost a game. They have 9-0. So that's a big ball game. Some people said this is a chance for Jalen Hurts, who left the University of Alabama, to shine. He's going to be in a major ball game. The only problem I have with the committee continues to overlook them. Baylor have two wins of overtime and a 2 or 3 point win. We have Oklahoma, who lost to Kansas State, who was a 3-touchdown favorite, but they end up losing that ball game. And they are sitting at 10, and they're sitting at number 8, I believe. They're sitting at 8, those two right there. So, you know, they're behind Minnesota and also behind Oregon and Utah. So that means they're sitting 9-10. My question, is they really, really, and I'm thinking they follow that because Oklahoma is 10 and 13 is Baylor. So that's going to be a leap for them to go ahead of anybody at this time, even with their, you know, even they undefeated. Their resume is not very good. Everybody says, well, Alabama's resume is not any different. SEC teams play each other. And the West is as strong as it are. If you're blowing the teams out in the West and blowing out the team in the East, you want me to go grab 2 or 3 other teams, you know, who were pretty good a couple of years ago. That's the number one team they played, but they're not as strong now. So we said it. They said, well, why don't you play some other games? Come on, man, be for real. You know, everybody plays the same kind of schedule except some teams that are playing 9 games. And even if you play 9 games, so what? So what you playing 9 games? You're still going to have some cupcakes on it. You're going to be handing away some money. So what the heck? I don't like to get into that schedule thing. We want you to just cause you win it. They want you to schedule all the best teams. But you got to realize some of them teams don't want to play them. Have you ever thought about that? Some of those teams really don't want to play those teams that sits up in that top 4 or 5. They don't want to play them because that's an automatic. And you do have a choice if they're not your conference team. And that's one of the things we have to keep in mind when we talk about resume, when we talk about who you should play, when we get into that talk. So Baylor being really has a great opportunity to beat a Jalen Hurts-led Oklahoma team. Oklahoma defense is still failing us. They're not as successful as they're supposed to be. But they can put some points up. So we'll kind of see how that's going to turn out. Baylor beat Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma-led team. Will they vault up above everybody else? I don't think so. I still think they're going to stay in it closer. They may get in the top 10, but they will not get in the top 4 or 5, even with a 10-0 mark. It's awesome to see that. It's good. But you have to look exactly how they won some ball games. So we're kind of looking at that. Now, again, just make sure you want to be a part of it. Just put in a comment on Facebook. Check Give me a shout out. Holler at me. Thumbs up. Do something. Just let me know. Send me a heart. I'll take whatever you need to send because it's awesome to have you a part of this show at 2:30. All right, we're going to move to the college sports. We're going to look at should the NCAA be disbanded, meaning the organization up in Indianapolis, should it be disbanded because of some of the situation we have. For example, we had a couple situations this past week dealing with, as a matter of fact, last Friday, dealing with two major players of either college and basketball. College football and basketball. You have Ohio State, Chase Young, considered maybe the top, could be the top draft choice, or one of the top players in the first round. He took out a loan. And the thing about it, he took the loan out to pay for his girlfriend to go to the Rose Bowl in 2018. My thing is that Ohio State knew that. It should have been self-reported, but it was not self-reported. It was told by someone, the individual he took the loan out. Yes, he paid him back. But you got to understand, that's something every player don't have an opportunity to do. But first of all, let's see how society works. If they got a loan from somebody, and I got to know you have the ability to pay me back. But most time, if you take that from an agency, you got to have some kind of job. These players don't have a job. I know we want to go through that big argument about players ought to be able to go to work. You can go to work. Yeah, no problem. Go to work. But you know you came there to that university to get to the next level. It's going to require you going through the grind, and you shouldn't even worry about it. Likeness. You know, every player's got a likeness. You know, some players have it because they're a star player, but should they get more money? That's another discussion on another day. So he took the money. He paid it back. He set a four-game suspension, but they reduced it to two-game suspension. So I'm just talking about it, disbanding the NCAA. Should we have an organization of it? The second incident is Jane Wilder over at Memphis. And that situation was that he was over here in Nashville or wherever, and Penny Hardaway, actually, as his AAU coach, gave his family $11,000 so he could move to Memphis. Then all of a sudden he ends up at his high school, Memphis East. Then on top of that, he ends up signing with Memphis. That is an impermissible benefit. That's what it is. You can't give that family no $11,000. It is, you know that. You become a road booster. You become in things that are not right. Penny ain't going to have to answer that, even though Wilder is dealing with it, because they had filed a lawsuit. He was declared ineligible by the NCAA, and then he filed a lawsuit. The judge, put an injunction. The injunction allows him to play. And now he removed the lawsuit. So, in essence, hopefully they work it out. But I'm still saying, what is wrong? These players don't know that's not right. These players know that. The agents know it's not. These coaches know it's not right. You can't give them more than another. Whether you think they need to have more, that's a whole different. Whatever the NCAA, you have to have a ruling agency. You have to have an organization that's setting the rules. I have a real serious problem. Even my first book, I had an opportunity to write, Education, What Happened to the Passion. And I was saying in there, education, it's all about passion. But we operate in what we call the gray. We don't want to follow the black and white no more. We want to operate in the gray. We got all this sympathy for this and sympathy for that. Let's follow the rules. The rules says that. Let's work with it. So we need an agency that is made up. Maybe people not aware of the NCAA, how it operates. NCAA is operated and governed by all the university presidents. All the university presidents makes up the NCAA. That's including the Power Five, the Group of Five, the Division Two, whatever it may be. It includes all of those. You know, you're talking about FCS, you're talking about FBS with Football Bowl Series, Championship Series, Division Two, Division Three. You know, all of them are part of that. All the schools that participate pay their fee, vote, have representatives on there. If you disband it, who's going to do it? See, a lot of people want that because they want to be renegades and do stuff that ain't right. We have to have a committee that governs. Just like on a high school level, you got the athletic association that's governing. You are members of it. When you pay your mama money and attend and be a part of me, you're a member. So you are going against yourself when you want to disband it because your player or player you know did something that was not right because Chase knew it was wrong because he don't have a job. What you taking a loan from? Come on, man. You said from a family friend. Now we're talking about a family friend. We know what that is. Come on. The agent gave him money. Come on, let's keep it real. He got 2-game suspension. He'll get ready to get back on the field next week. So that's saying Wilder, he's going to wait till the NCAA make a decision. So we're not going to disband the NCAA. We got to have a governing agent to run this thing, and we have no viable replacement for it. I'm just telling you, we don't. We don't have a viable replacement. If you do, let me know. All right, we also want to look at the big upset of Evansville over Kentucky, who was ranked number one. If you work to watch the kickoff classic or the basketball classic, I'll say they have the start of it. Tip-off classic, we'll call it. And when you had Kentucky playing Michigan State, you had Duke playing Kansas, Kentucky and Duke won. So Kentucky brought it from number two to number one. And then you have some changes. Duke moved up. And Kentucky was at home against Evansville. Evansville is a smaller college, and then Evansville's beat down. So the question we had is, what is going on? Is Kentucky really the team you think? Everybody said, well, look at that first game, what they did. But you shouldn't let a team like that come in. But, you know, it's a thought process. I always try to tell my players, you have to prepare and practice like you're going to win the game when you get in the game. You can't wait to – you can't drag around and play around and practice and then go think you're going to win the game. It doesn't happen. Practice make perfect. And when Harrison made, why practice? If you don't practice, you're not going to be successful. So after they won that championship, that little classic game, that first classic game, maybe their mind just slipped and said, we're number one. It is a very immature team. I mean, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. And sometimes they don't handle success as well. So we're kind of keep an eye on that and see how, you know, that turns out. It's called, I have a name for it when Kentucky lost. Any given Tuesday. It can happen to you on any given Tuesday. It can happen to you in basketball any given Monday, Thursday, Wednesday, Saturday, any day of the week. It can happen to you, but it was any given Tuesday. It can happen to a little small school like Evansville to come into Rupp Arena and beat Kentucky. Number one, big Wildcats. It can happen. It may not happen but one time, but that one time is so important. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with someone that was talking about FCS schools. For example, historical black colleges and universities going and playing major PWIs, public white school, white institution. And that's what PWIs we call them. So a lot of people do the same. So in essence, we have a school that's FCS and the SWAC going to play a team from ACC, which is Florida State playing Alabama State is going down to play. It's a money game. And they said, well, how to go to winning? I'm not saying it won't happen, but I always try to keep this thought in. I support and love my Hornets. However, I know the athletes we have is not able to compete at the level of those athletes. Some things may happen. Early in the season, you can catch teams, but late in the season, it's kind of hard to catch teams, even though they fired their coach. They fired Willie Taggart, gave him $20 million buyout, and they brought Hagler, who's one of their linebackers that played for them, now is the interim head coach. He won last week, and he's looking to win another ball game. I just believe that when it happened, it's special. It was early, you know, in basketball. This would have probably never happened late in the season in basketball, but it did happen in the first part of the season. Now, you can be a part of this by calling in and chatting with us, 347-857-4192. Now, if you want to be live, press 1, and we can let you give you the opportunity to share your expertise, like your thoughts and your wisdom in regards to sports. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to go to some professional sports. I'm just going to focus. I did focus on breaking news. We're dealing with the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we're going to talk about the Cowboys. You're a Cowboy fan? Give me a thumb up. I don't have no problem with the Cowboy fans, but should Jason Garrett, the coach of the Cowboys, be blamed for the Cowboys' struggle? started off looking beautiful. Something hit a snag right there. You know, Kellen Moore was calling the plays. Everything looked good. And all of a sudden, for the first 3 weeks, the last 3 or 4 weeks, they haven't been looking that good. Is it because the head coach is beginning to take over the play calling like he was doing last year? What is it? We want to know. Should we blame Jason Garrett? Assemble the athletes that the Cowboys have. It's an awesome group of athletes. They just paid $90 million to Zeke. What's going on there? Is it the head coach? Is it the players? We say it's not the players because they assembled some great athletes. Dak is doing real good at quarterback. Is it the head coach? Should he be blamed for the struggles? If you have a thought on it, share your thoughts on it by calling in and being a part. Or just type in the comment section on Facebook or Instagram. Let me know what you think about that. And I'll say that if it's not the players, if it's not the front office, it's not the general manager, it got to be the CEO, which is the head coach. We have to look at it that way. And the struggle is because of the head coach. Something is not going on when they get in that facility. And then when they try to get out on the field, which is a practice field, from the practice field to the game field, something is going on that's not right. So we're going to keep an eye on it, and we're going to continue to talk about it. And we would say we don't have to blame Jason Garrett. He's the head coach. He's the CEO of the Cowboys for their struggles. So we're going to keep an eye on it, and we want you to do the same thing. Colin Kaepernick, I mentioned earlier, he's going to get a chance to do a private workout. And for all 32 teams, there's only going to be 11 present. And it won't be the coaches or it'll be the general manager, but it'll be a representative from 32 teams. Only 11 is going to be present, and the other 21 teams don't get a videotape of it. Is it a PR stunt? What is the NFL doing? This, as I said earlier, this situation was dead. Wasn't nobody talking about it, but you bring it back up. And when you bring it back up, now you got it. Okay, we're going to have us stir it up again and say, oh, wow, he needs to have a job. He's better than some of the 64 quarterbacks, that 65 quarterbacks that's in the NFL. Yes, he is. But really, why did they do this? Why did the NFL get out and put this up? Maybe it's a possibility that a team really needed and didn't want to step out by themselves to get that criticism from their fan base or whatever it is, or just from the talking heads and pundits. I'm not sure, but it's a PR stunt. We're going to keep an eye. Some people believe it. My point of view in regards to that, I believe it is a PR stunt. I think it's something to do with that. I feel like it's something to do with that settlement of $13 million that you give us a trial. But you do it on Tuesday. You called me on Tuesday and said, be here Saturday. I see a problem with that. Everybody want to say, no, they do 150 trials throughout the year. You know, they bring players in and look at them and they're, come on, man. You do, but you don't bring all 32 teams. You don't do that. So this is kind of the kill, this talk that is, I think, you know, it's a PR nightmare if it don't work out like they think from the NFL. But if it works out like they're planning, I feel like it is a stunt. So it's something that makes them look good. The shield, protect the shield. That's what it's all about. So my thoughts on that, it is a stunt. And we'll see how it turns out after Saturday. So we'll know something more about 5 o'clock because it's a 3 o'clock workout in the Atlanta Falcon facility. So we'll kind of see exactly how that goes. We also want to look at the New York Giants and the New York Jets, their coaches, Adam Gase and Pat Shurmur. You know, who's on the hot seat? Personally, both of them. You hear it from me. From Dr. Lowe, you hear it from him. Both of them are on the hot seat because their team was not performing up to the level they need to perform. Jets, I think they won one or two games. You know, and it's kind of ridiculous. Giants had won 4 games. They made a change to go to Rick Jones, Daniel Jones, Daniel Dime, they call it, and it's still not quite working up. They made the decision to release and let Odell Beckham go. Olivier, all those players that would have been strong for them, they just let them go to end up in Cleveland. So if you're all about winning, you would make an effort to keep those players. So we'll kind of see both of them on the hot seat in my eyes. Not just one. Both of them on fire, personally. Now, they may not be fired, but they're on the hot seat because I think New York Jets front office gave Adam Gase a extension and gave him a vote of confidence. I think that's what it was. So the vote of confidence saying they're doing. Pat Shermer had already received it. So we're kind of keep an eye. That's something we want to come back later on and talk about in December about who's really on the hot seat. Who's struggling? A lot of the talking heads and pundits saying that they need to really think Adam Gase should have had the job from the beginning, but now they need to let him go. Now, it is not unprecedented that you let him go after 1 year, because the same thing was talking about Freddie Kitchens at Cleveland Brown, letting him go. But there were several coaches last year, Arizona coach, 1 year last year. Even Todd Bowles got couple years, but he was released. They had four or five of these African-American head coaches released last year because they was not winning. So why is this any difference? But we're going to keep an eye on it, and we're going to continue to talk about it. All right, the next topic we want to look at what quarterback would you take to win the Super Bowl today? Which one of those quarterbacks? Which one of those quarterbacks? I'm going to call out some names. Start out with Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Which one? Now, for me, at this point, I have to go with the makeup of the team. The team that's been there. If I had to take, and everybody said, I'm going to be a little biased, I'd take Brady. Because if they can get any kind of help from those receivers, because the defense playing at a high level, I would take him because of his going that nine times and winning six. I have to go with experience. Experience does matter to me. Now, you may see different. If it is, if you see something different, share your thoughts by giving me a call in and the chat with us. The call in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to share your thoughts, all you have to do is press 1, and I'll make you live, and you can chat with us about your thoughts in regards to who you think would be the quarterback you would prefer to have on your team to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. All right, the next thing we're going to look at some of the historical black college and university spotlight, starting with more of a recap from last week with Grambling upset Alcorn. They kind of even this thing out. Grambling is from the Western Division of the Southwest Athletic Conference. They are second in the standing over there behind Southern, and Alcorn is first in the standing. But they got a big ball game this weekend. Alcorn is will be taking on Alabama A&M in Lorimer, Mississippi, and whoever win that game in a good position to win the Eastern Division of the SWAC. The West is led by Southern, second by Grambling. East led by Alcorn, and second by Alabama State, and third by A&M. But A&M is 1.5 game behind Alabama State. If they win this game, they will move up to the first slot. And Alcorn will fall second because Alcorn beat Alabama State. Alabama State will fall third. So we'll look to see how all that goes. The standings in the SWAC, Southern is 5-1. This is a Western division. Southern is 5-1. Grambling is 3-2. Prairie View is 3-3. University of Arkansas Pine Bluff is 2-4, and Texas Southern is 0-6. In the Eastern Division of the SWAC, you have Alcorn 4-1. It's a conference record. Alabama State 4-2. Alabama A&M is 3-2. And you have Jackson State 3-2. And have Mississippi Valley 1-4. So that's how they're standing. They play seven conference games to determine who goes to the championship game. It's set up that whoever wins overall, have the best overall record, would host the game. Previously, and still at this point, it's Alcorn. If Alcorn loses another game, then it will flip over to Southern if Southern can hold off Grambling. So we'll kind of see how that turns out in the SWAC. In the MEAC, which is a Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, you have their standing. You have North Carolina A&T leading the conference. That's 4-2. Bethune-Cookman is second. And it's a big ball game this weekend in North Carolina at North Carolina A&T campus. You have Bethune-Cookman coming to town. So whoever wins this game will win the conference because how it's set up, they don't have division. They have the top 10 teams. And those top two are ahead of the, in the third team that's trailing, but also lost to those two teams, the South Carolina State. South Carolina State also is 4-2 in the conference. So they're just hovering back there. Now, the team that's been most successful this year is FAMU. FAMU is 8-1 overall and 6-0 in the conference. However, they're ineligible to participate in the conference championship and the postseason. So even though they're ahead of the conference, they won't be eligible to play. They can still say they won the regular season, but they won't be able to play for the championship or go to any postseason play. Now, the representatives from that team do go to the FCS playoff. That's why we're seeing who's a contender, who's a pretender. So whoever wins this game between North Carolina A&T and Bethune-Cookman this weekend in North Carolina at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time will get a chance to play in the FCS playoff, which is football championship subdivision. Okay? So check that out. It's going to be awesome. That's coming up in 2 weeks. So we'll look forward. Now, the SWAC conference does not have a representative because of their teams playing beyond the designated date. You have to be through by this weekend. That's your out. You have to be through. So by being through by the 16th, then because the playoff starts next weekend. So they won't be through because they have a couple teams that's playing on Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving weekend. You have Alabama State playing in their Turkey Day Classic against Prairie View, and then you have Southern and Grambling playing in the Bayou Classic on that Saturday, which is the 30th. So that eliminates SWAC from participating. All right, let's look at the SIAC, which is the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. You have Miles will be traveling to Savannah State for the SIAC championship. It's going to be 2 o'clock. Miles won the West with an awesome record of only one loss. Then you have Savannah State had only one loss as well. So they'll be playing for the championship game, and they rotate their game. They have the Western Conference hosted, which was last year. Miles won the championship, so they're reigning champions. Then Savannah State, who's the Eastern Division champion this year, and they're hosting a game in Savannah, Georgia. So check that out. Time for that game is 2 p.m. over there on the campus of Savannah State University. In the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, you have Bowie State undefeated in the conference. They're 7-0, will be taking on Fairfield State. Bowie State won the Northern Division of the CIAA. Fairfield State won the Southern Division, so they'll be playing for the championship in Salem, Virginia this Saturday at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So that's the CIAA football championship. So we're going to have some champions. The idea is who's contenders and pretenders for the football playoffs. So we're in the playoff in some of the divisions, especially historical black colleges and universities on your Division II schools. And also, you move in your high school. Let's move to the high school. That's coming up next. And we'll get back and ready to wrap it up. We're at 321. Still, you can be a part of it. Give me a shout. Call. Give me a holler. 347-857-4192. Talk with the doc. The doc ready to talk to you. Talk some sports. We're excited. I'm looking at the line. See several people on the line. Thank you so much. Just press 1. And we'll begin the chat because I'll make it live and share your point of view, your expertise. All right, some high school spotlight. We're going to focus on the Alabama High School Athletic Association playoff because they're a little further than the state of Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, a little further than each one of those states because some of those trying to decide districts, regions, and so on before they can get into round 1, round 2, round 3. So we'll kind of keep an eye on it. But dealing with it, we have some games of the week. You have Maplefield in the Class 1A. We'll be taking on Sweetwater tonight. Elmo will be taking on Lynette. And Lynette is undefeated at 10-0. We have 2A. We have Goshen at Leroy. Luverne, who's 11-0, at GW Long, who's 9-2. Real Town, 10-1, will be taking on JU Blackshear, who's 9-2. In Class 3A, you have T.R. Miller, 7-4, at Montgomery Academy. Here's in Montgomery. We'll be in Montgomery, Alabama. You have 7-4, Montgomery Academy will be hosting T.R. Miller. St. James, 10-1, will be hosting Flemington, who's 10-1. Mobile Christian, this is 3A now, 6-4 will be taking on Pipe Road. So they'll be at Pipe Road. So we'll look forward to see that. Pipe Road just actually started up where they're playing at a level because they had to go through the process. They started in school, high school, a couple years ago. They had to go through the junior varsity setting now, but they're 11-0 this year in Road. So congratulations so far for Pipe Road, Alabama, part of Montgomery County. In 4A, you have Hanley, who's 7-4, be taking on Montgomery Catholic, who's 11-0. I saw Montgomery Catholic last year. Didn't see them this year, but they're rolling. They look real good. So they'll be hosting Hanley over there at Catholic High School over there on Bond Road in Montgomery, Alabama. St. James will be at Flemington. St. James also on Bond Road. They're about a block down from Catholic. Their campus is. And St. James is 10-1. Flemington is 10-1. Mobile Christian will be at, I need to move forth and kind of move on to those 4A. We have Andalusia will be taking on Lincoln. They're 9-2, Andalusia 8-3. You have Hillcrest, 7-4. You know, Hillcrest 2 years ago won the state championship. My frat brother, Clint Smith, thank you so much, brother, for doing some things, doing some great things down. He's back in the playoff again. He had to move up from 3A to 4A, so they'll be at American Christian, who's 10-1. Also, I'm going to give a shout-out for another one, frat brothers, at Lynette, Coach Story. Thank you so much. He's there at Lynette. He won a state championship 2 years ago as well. So he's back in, and he's 10-0, but he's Class 1A, and Coach Smith is a Class 4A. That's Hillcrest at American Christian. 5A, you have Ramsey, 9-2, taking on Valley. They'll be over in Valley, Alabama. You have Bibb County, 11-0, out at Greenville. Greenville's about 40 miles away from Montgomery. That's their 7-4, so that'll be a big ball game. In 6A, over in Crompton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama, you have Stanhope Elmo, who's Millbrook, Alabama, which is 15 miles away from Montgomery. Be taking on Park Crossing. Stanhope is 9-2. Park Crossing is 4-7. Everybody said 4-7? Yes, all it takes you to win the games in your region, and they was fourth in their region, upset the number one team in the state last weekend, 30-27, which was Sailor. So now they're hosting a game in Crompton Bowl. And Spanish, got Spanish 4, we're still 6A, 6-4 at Wetumpka, who's 6-5. Then you have Eufaula, who's 9-2 at Hueytown, who's 10-1. We have St. Paul at Opelika. St. Paul is 8-3. Opelika is 9-1. Pittston Valley, who won a state championship, won it 2 or 3 years in a row with that Auburn quarterback, 8-2. The freshman quarterback, Alabama, was a quarterback at Pittston Valley, 8-2. At Fort Payne, who was 9-2. 7A. We have a smaller number of teams in 7A, so we have a situation where this is moving them toward the semifinal. Whoever wins tonight falls into the semifinals because they don't have as many teams in there. 32, I believe. That's 7A Auburn, 83 at McGill Tulin, who's ranked number 2 on the Power 25. They're 11-0. Prattville, 9-2, will be at Central Phoenix City. Chase Stevens down there. Chase had a block for a touchdown, an interception for a touchdown, had a block of an extra point in a game. He was team captain, and I appreciate Chase for doing the things he's doing down at Central Phoenix City. Central Phoenix City is 10-1. Florence is 7-4. They'll be at Thompson, who's the number one team, who's 9-1. Then we have Hoover, who's 9-2, who won like 4 or 5 state championships until last year when Central Phoenix City beat Thompson, and Thompson actually beat Hoover last year. They'll be taking on Jane Clemens up there in the North Alabama area. Those are the teams that's going to be playing tonight. we're still finding out who are going to be pretenders and who's contenders for the football playoff or for the championship. It's been awesome, and I want to give a shout-out to those people who joined us, and I'm going to click on my in regards to my Instagram. It gives us 1 hour. 1 hour is over with, then we have to move forward and just try to record again, but we're ending the show on Instagram. But we're still with you on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. I have some people I want to give shout-outs to. They took time to check out Balling with the Doc with myself, Dr. Smith, and I want to give them a shout-out. First, we have Artavius Williams, Tootie, one of my ball players from junior high. He went on and played at Lanier High School in Montgomery, then at University of Alabama, Birmingham, and had a stint up at the professional ranks as well. My frat brother, also a Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, Artavia Williams. Hey, frat, thank you for joining. Mo Meek, Sunshine Boy, I gave you, congratulated you on your engagement. It's awesome. Go make it do what it do in 2020. Monique Sunshine Boy is joining us. She said happy Friday, and I give her a shout out and same thing to you. Dana Chanel, thank you, Dana. It's so good to have a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. I'm giving you a shout out, Dana. Thank you for joining us. Dorita D. Hembridge Maddox. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking I see that on her chest. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you so much for joining. Also, we have, is it Shanisha Hams Leonard joining us as well? And I can't see exactly what her standing in. Maybe Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you so much. Dr. Olivia E. Smith, co-host on our Monday night show and join us on Tuesday night show as well. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, and she's my sister, biological sister. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. O. Also, Beverly Lachey Johnson, former student of mine down in McKenzie. It was good to be able to see her last night and holler and talk with her last night. Have a long conversation. Thank you so much. And she always check out on Facebook because she has a business going on right now. I want you to be able to get with her and accessories and purchase some things from Beverly Lachey Johnson. Do that. Just go to Beverly Lachey Johnson on Facebook and you can be able to communicate with her. Thank you, Beverly, so much for joining us. We also have La Price Sanford. Thank you so much for joining. And this last young man, I tell you, boy, I'm happy I was able to make connection with him. That's Ted Martin, my frat brother of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. Thank you so much. T. Martin, it's good to be able to talk with you and you be a part of the show as well. Man, it's awesome to be able to connect with you again. Take care of your family. Be good, and we'll get back to you. He's a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. It's been awesome today. We've been sharing some great things about sports, some hot topics. We gave you our opinion. You also tapped in your opinion, whether you did it through Twitter or whether you did it through Instagram, whatever. We appreciate you doing that. We'll be back with you on Monday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, talking real to you. And we have an awesome guest that's going to be talking about, she's a licensed clinical social worker. Lisa is awesome. Levine. She's coming out of South Florida, Boca Raton, and she's going to be sharing some awesome ways to treat individuals after school shootings, some therapies that she's using. And we are excited to have her, and that's Lisa Levine. She'll be with us on Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Time's time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Then on Tuesday, we got Dr. Lowe's show, and I'll be coming at you hard with some relationship issues. Monday show, let me go back, and those co-hosts that's joining me on Monday, that's Lauren D. Smith, she'll be joining us. She makes up that team, the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country. Dr. Olivia E. Smith, I said Dr. O, she'll be joining. Scarlett H. Black will be also joining. And I'll give a shout-out for each one of them in their organization. Lauren D. Smith, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Dr. O, as mentioned, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And you also have Scarlett H. Black, my sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Then we also have Cameron Gilmer. He'll be joining us as well. So we have those individuals will be with me on Monday night, on Tuesday night. They come back. Sometimes Scarlett will join us as well as Dr. Owen talk about relationship issues. On Wednesday, we have Talking Sports Plus. The co-hosts on those shows are Darrell E. Train Elliott, Touchdown Tony Starwars, the King Tremaine Edwards, Lauren D. Smith, Coach Smith, and Cameron Gilmer. And out once a month, we have a Thursday show called the Ministry Shannon Show. The Ministry Shannon Show, hosted by Ministry Shannon, Hendricks People, co-hosted by Elder Kendall McKnight, and they just talk about life issues. They don't fight the ball over the top. It's been awesome. We get ready to close this out. You know, it's all about having some fun, enjoying ourselves, and all those ones that had numbers on Blog Talk Radio, I thank you for joining us as well. It's been awesome. It's time to call it quits. It's been awesome. We're going to have a great weekend. It's truly going to be an opportunity for you to continue to be blessed. So you take care of yourself and your family. And I always have my hashtag I share with people, and that hashtag is keep on grinding. No matter what it is, keep grinding at it. Never get up. Never give up. Never give up. Hashtag number two, communicate for understanding. You got to be able to listen when you're sharing your thoughts and want people to listen. Listen to what they have to say. And last but not least, I love you, and I'm saying you to do about it. You want out of your water.
Got a brother rolling it so bad I'm about to pass out. Gonna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby. Just alleviate your clothes, I'm the fly about it. Catch you at the club, your ex got me feeling. Body talking quick to me, but I can't comprehend the meaning. Now if you wanna roll with me, then get some chance. You an 80 on the freeway, catch me if you can. Forgive me, I'm a rider, still I'm just a simple man. All I want is money plus the fame, I'm a simple man. Mr. International, player with a passport. Just like a Latin switch, cause you ain't anything you ask for. Either him or me. Champagne, Hennessy, favor to my homies when we fall on our enemies. Witness as we creep to a low speed. What my foes need, make some OGs from you don't need. Approaching women with a passion for a long day. But I've been driven by attraction in a strong way. Your body is banging, baby, I love the way you're flowing. Time to give it to daddy sugar, now tell me how you rolling. Man, that you can trust, not just a fool in lust. Coming to get you on the bus, it's so ironic. Exotic on the verge of erotic. I'm hitting switches on misses, like I've been fixed with hydraulics. My up and down like a roller coaster. Gonna come inside you, I ain't stopping till the show is over. Cause I'm about to end and out, it's like a robbery. I'll probably be a freak and let you get on top of me. Either I can ease, nice for Alice. A living legend, you ain't heard about them players living Cali days. Dolores took me, you were fake to me. Instead of trying to help a brother, wanna take a tease. Mistaking me for Bill Clinton, Mr. Bob Dole. It's too old to understand the way the game's tough. You're lame, so I gotta hit you with the hot track. Once I'm released, I'm making millions trying to top that. They're gonna say to me, they'd rather see me in my cell. It's different hell the way you feel with us a little hell. Now everybody talking about us, I ain't giving up the very one that tore us all. Come on, tell me how you vote. Watch out. How you doing?
How do you always? How do you feel? Coming up at a blue in a gas can, living in a fast lane, I'm real.
I was raised as a youth, so the truth I got the scoop on how to get a bulletproof. Things busting off the roof, but when I was a teenager, mobile phones got paid to game rules. I'm living major, my adversaries is getting bubby. They paranoid, they're getting bubby. One of us gon' see the cemetery. They wonder if my lifestyle's changed, and am I through with all the pain? Surviving in this game, and still the same. Honey, just meet me at the strip club, bring a thong. Look how they shaking for that cash, what's getting song? I had no sympathy for those who pray to mystery.
can I come over there tonight? Depend on me, the one to handle it and get it right. Your body is banging, baby, I love the way you're blowing. Time to give it to Zach, looking to tell me how you rollin'.